Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Guess what? It's another cloudy Wednesday. Don't worry, no snow in the forecast for all you North Scottsdale fans, I think. Nonetheless, this is the Brad Sesmat Show on Sports360AZ.com. I am not Brad Sesmat. I am your host today, Devin Henry, filling in for literally everybody outside of the studio right now. We are having a party all around the state of Arizona today. We are going to go just about everywhere today, to be honest with you. Basically everywhere south of the I-10, I believe. Basically everywhere. One really cool note that I just couldn't start the show off without, like, talking about it was when I was here on Monday, we were getting ready for AZ Audibles, which is on every day on Brad Sesmat's Football AZ on Fox Sports Arizona before D-backs games, Suns games, and Coyotes games. We had a lot of fun talking about high school players that we would love to see in some sort of high school combine, some of the freak athletes who play high school football here in the state of Arizona. And on my way back from work, I was going down the 101 southbound to Tempe over on that east part of the 101 little upside down U that we have. And I looked out to the left from the snow that happened this past weekend. And I mean, it wasn't like back home in Northwest Phoenix, there's some peaks. There's some snow peaks. And I think that's just spectacular. I love that view being a valley desert guy. But then there's this whole mountain range that's just covered in snow, and it's still kind of like that today. So, like, I don't know. I'm giddy every time I come here to the Skyview Network studios here in Scottsdale now. But besides all my jibber-jabber, we have plenty going on here today. As I mentioned, we will talk to Howie Schwab, a Fox Sports bracket analyst. We are going to figure out, is there any chance of U of A and ASU making it into this year's March Madness tournament with their downside here in Pac-12 play as they go into their final two games of conference play before the Pac-12 tournament? But we're going to have a boatload of calls in today. We are talking to ISM Raceway track president Julie Giese down in Avondale, Arizona. We are going to call in to the big man himself, Brad Sesmat, and Eric Sorensen, who are on their way south right now. We're going to figure out what they're doing. And also Jordan Hamm will be joining us by phone. We're going to jump in with Jordan here as he's down in Tempe as well. But for now, I'm just going to give you your rundown. That was presented by Sagicor. Sagicor Now, protect what matters most. Do that with life insurance. Brad, of course, he's licensed with Sagicor. He goes and he consults and he talks with people to talk about life insurance and what they're going to be doing in their future. So Brad trusts him. I trust him. If you don't have everything figured out, go ahead and give him a call. Sagicor Now. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. As we mentioned, we are going to be everywhere. The Sagicor rundown is just like the list of who's in Southern Arizona, both east and west. Southern Phoenix, I guess I should say. We're going to be in Tempe, we're going to be in Avondale, then we are going to be in Southern Arizona as well. So we got plenty of ventures to get to. I'm hoping to talk a little bit of Cardinals because, of course, it's the draft combine week this week. So like I mentioned on AZ Audibles, we're talking about high school competitors. And then also on the show, Brad Sesmat is going to have a variety of guests. He also has the Paradise Valley quarterback in studio as well. We have a lot of fun stuff on the Brad Sesmat show, Brad Sesmat's Football AZ on Fox Sports Arizona this week. Brad will be back tomorrow, and we will talk more football. I guarantee it. Don't you worry your little heads, everyone. But we're going to bring in Jordan Hamm here in just a moment. We're also going to have Brad and Eric coming on to the show, as well as we're going to talk a little bit about the 6A and 5A state basketball championships that happened last night. I love talking some high school hoops, and Eric Sorensen was there watching live, watching Nico Mannion win yet another state championship before he heads down to play at U of A next year for the Arizona Wildcats. So as we await Jordan's call here on Sports360AZ.com, I do want to talk a little bit about what's going on in the world of football. And of course, you can hear plenty more of that before any Yost or Suns games on Fox Sports Arizona. But looking at what we like to call spring football, as we are really just not in spring yet. It's still winter ball. We're still looking at the four different quarterbacks for Arizona State. Three recruits who are coming in as their freshman years. Also, a guy who's been there for a while, and Sterling Cole, who's really thinking that it's his turn to be taking over the reins. Jordan Hamm did a great story last week on some of the defensive side of, of the football side for Arizona State. And, of course, there's always the question of what's going to be going on with Eno Benjamin. He broke a record last year and in rushing. Now he has a new coach, being Sean Aguano, coming from Chandler High School, where he's won a couple of championships here and there. So the high school football coach knows a thing or two about success, and now is paired with one of the top running backs in the Pac-12, which is going to be really fun to watch. And I don't know exactly what they're going to be doing when winter ball is going to be over here in just a little bit here. It's actually coming to an end here, and we're going to be having Jordan Hamm come onto the show here in just a little bit. But for now, I do want to talk also some Cardinals football, because the draft combine is happening, not necessarily as we speak, but nonetheless throughout the week. We are in day number two, and today is the day that Kyler Murray will be evaluated statistic-wise, at the very least at that point. But I think that Kyler Murray, with all the who say, he say, she say about what head coach Cliff Kingsbury has said about Kyler Murray, well, that all kind of came from buttering him up. That's nothing new that a college coach does. So while I don't think that Kyler Murray is the future of the Arizona Cardinals purely because of the fact that you already have Josh Rosen, I don't know. There's a lot of picks that you can take in this year's draft, but now with another few commissary picks that the Cardinals have, you have about 11 picks. Do you trade that number one pick and go down? I think that'd be a smart decision, go for someone else. As much as I would love to see N'Keal Harry end up being on this Cardinals roster, you already have Larry Fitzgerald, but who knows how long he'll be around. And then also, not to mention, you have Christian Kirk, who did phenomenal and will be coming back from injury. So a lot to talk about on the draft pick. Will you talk in the race to number one that's going to be on the Brad Sussman Football ID show? But on top of that, we will be talking about Arizona State football, talking with Jordan Hamm, Sports 360 AZ reporter, and what's going on down in Tempe. We don't talk quite as much about Tucson, but we will get to that today. Nonetheless, though, I want to get back on that Cardinals draft pick as we await Jordan Hamm to get back on the telephone with us here. But Jordan's going to talk to us about more ASU stuff. Might throw a Cardinals question out there for him. But a lot of people are considering Kyler Murray as that number one pick overall for the Cardinals. Right now on most boards, he's the number two quarterback. But can Kyler Murray help the Cardinals if he is a number one draft pick? Absolutely. Think about this. Kyler Murray doesn't have to be the number one pick for the Arizona Cardinals. He can be the number one pick for someone else. If Kyler Murray impresses here statistic-wise, if he has giant hands, he's really tall, and he's really powerful, teams are going to love that. So if teams love that and someone wants to jump up to number one to get Kyler Murray, boom. The Cardinals can not only maybe jump down in the draft, but get some compensation, whether it be more players on the offensive line, more quality players on the offensive line. It can be more draft picks. So this is already a very young team, but there's a lot of options here if Kyler Murray actually shows out a little bit at the combine. All right, so instead we are going to take a break here on the Brad Sussman Show. On the other side, we are going to try to call Brad Sussman and Eric Sorensen as they are on their way to somewhere very special for a very special interview here on Sports360AZ.com. I'm Devin Henry. Sports360AZ.com, and we are now joined by two very special guests, my boss and basically my other boss, the executive producer, Eric Sorensen, along with Brad Sussman here on the Brad Sussman Show. Where in the world are you guys going right now?
We're going to a meeting where we're going to decide if we're going to fire you. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay.
We're going to Tucson. You like going to Tucson, don't you?
I love it.
Yeah. We're going to go to EG's. It's a great spot.
Ooh.
And while we're down at EG's eating, we're actually heading to Aaron Rodgers, the Green Bay Packer quarterback, is in Tucson today playing in the Coligard Classic, which is the senior PGA Tour stop, Devin. He's over at the Omni International golf course, so we're heading to get Aaron Rodgers, and then Kevin Sumlin is there too, so couple of angles that we see as we do what we do around the state. So, yeah, today is a trip to Tucson. So,
yeah, I mentioned we're about everywhere in Arizona south of the I-10. We're going to be up in or down in Avondale, Arizona, I guess, with Julie Geese. He talked about ISM Raceway. Jordan Hamm is down in Tempe. And now you guys are going very, very, very south down to Tucson. How's the road trip so far? Have you two survived thus far? Does it look like you will continue to survive with you two in the car?
Yeah, well, it's a good question. It's 20 plus years of knowing each other, even closer to 30. No, we passed the ostrich farm, which is always fun. And they have the stingray event now at the ostrich farm, but we didn't pull off. You know, the ride to Tucson, it's very green. Eric was checking out the topography of the drive as we went through Picacho and how green and beautiful it is down here. So I happen to like going to Tucson. I don't, you know, I happen to like leaving Tucson when it's all said and done because I like where I live, but... It's a great place to come to do stories, and doesn't matter if it's up to Flagstaff or Kingman or, you know, it's anywhere we go around the state, it's fun. But on a story like today, you hope that the players are and the personalities are really relaxed and are willing to talk about some things. Like in Aaron Rodgers' case, it's his quarterback coach at Green Bay, Tom Clements, is now with the Cardinals, and what did Coach Clements put into Aaron Rodgers through the years that perhaps Josh Rosen can expect, and some angles there that are not what everybody else is looking at. Today, everybody's got their eyes on the combine, the largest show of underwear on fake grass in Indianapolis, and we choose to go to Tucson. So there you go.
So, Brad, I do want to pick your brain a little bit because we did see that best game of the year basically for the Cardinals is Josh Rosen kind of gunned out Aaron Rodgers for a really upset win late last year. What do you think Tom Clements can bring from Aaron Rodgers? Because there has been comparisons Rodgers to Rosen that can make Rosen a better quarterback with Cliff Kingsbury also at the helm.
Well, I think it's a good question, Devin. There's no clear answer on it. I just think probably some sense of stability. If you think about where it was last year where Mike McCoy came in, and then Mike McCoy was not here, and then it was Byron Leftwich, and Byron Leftwich isn't here, and here's Josh Rosen with his head on a platter, you know, being sent out there, just get crushed, no offensive line in front of him, players getting injured around him, so he's losing, I hate to use the word weapons, but he's losing assets like Christian Kirk as the season progressed. So I'm pretty sure it's just, hey, calm down, slow down. I've been here. I've done that. Tom Clements also worked with Brett Favre. So I think that when I saw that Aaron was going to play down here, it was, let's go talk to Aaron Rodgers about what the Cardinals are getting. And I'll be interested to hear your question, his response to the question that you posed, because that's what I want to know, is what do you think he's bringing to this young quarterback? And, you know, in terms of Kevin Sumlin, if he's playing on the course right now, he gets done about noon, it's, okay, what is Cliff Kingsbury all about from your view? Because Kevin hired him when they were together down at Houston, University mm-hmm. of Houston. So Kevin Sumlin knows Cliff Kingsbury very well. Kevin Sumlin recruited and had Kyler Murray when he was at Texas A&M before he transferred out. If Kevin Sumlin had the number one overall pick in the draft, as the Cardinals do, would he look at Kyler Murray? So I think there's a lot there with both guys. And then Eric's working on a really cool – we're not going to reveal it, but he's working on a really cool piece on a former high school player in the Valley who is part of the U of A football program, who is now looking to go to the next level and is doing some cool things off the field. So really three stories, and you never know on a day like today. There's things – I love days like today. I don't know how it's going to end up. I could be driving back to Tucson saying we got nothing or we got everything. That's the beauty of the business. It's, you see things that could be really cool for fans to consume, and if you don't go down and try, you don't know if you're going to get shut out or not. So,
a lot of great Cardinals.
We will not get shut out, just so you know.
A lot of great Cardinals angles from non-players from the Cardinals, so some great angles, and I'm sure that everyone can see a little bit more on Brad Setsmatt's Football AZ on Fox Sports Arizona coming from these stories next week. We're running short on time. I do want to ask real quick, because I love high school ball, whether it be football, softball, basketball, e-gaming,
sure,
whatever. Eric Sorensen, you were at the 5A and 6A championship games last night. We are short on time, so I just want to get your impressions. Obviously, Nico Mannion is going to be a big storyline. Besides Nico Mannion, because there's some great players on Pinnacle 2 as well as everyone else who plays the state championship game, for crying out loud, what impressed you the most from last night?
Well, Devin, I should let you know I was not at the 5A games, but I did take in the boys' 6A game last night, and it was the case that we've seen really the last 2 years from Pinnacle. Teams stay close, and then something happens when which ignites a pinnacle run, which essentially puts the game away. And last night, Nico Mannion had a breakaway dunk, put some poor Chaparral kid on a poster, and that really sort of ignited and re-energized their defense, which forced turnovers, which led to transition, which led Mannion to spread the floor, and with all those shooters, you know how that story ended. Marcus Libman, who's a really, really good wide receiver for the Pinnacle football team, was the second leading scorer last night for the Deers. He scored 19 points, and he was really the X factor. Great effort by Chaparral. It's tough to beat a team three times in 1 year, but we did it last night.
And not to mention, we'd even throw out the names Trent Brown or Tosh Baker. That's just a stacked Pinnacle team over there winning another state championship. Luckily for the 6A conference, Nico Mannion will be gone. So that's a great uplifting fact for 6A high school basketball teams next year, I guess. Eric, Brad, thank you for joining me on here for a little bit on, you know, literally your guys' show. You'll be back tomorrow talking for everyone. I'll get off of this studio here tomorrow. Have fun in Tucson, and we can't wait to see stuff on the website on sports360az.com.
Don't screw up. Talk to you later.
Oh, you should listen to the first segment. No, I'm kidding.
See you later.
See you later, Brad. All right, we'll just take another quick break. Coming up on the other side, we're going to be talking to Howie Schwab, the Fox Sports Bracket Analyst. What does the future look like for ASU and U of A basketball? That coming up on the Brad Sesmatch Show on sports360az.com. I'm Devin Henry.
So as mentioned, it is a huge week for Arizona State because they're just hanging on by a thread from my view. And U of A, they've got to win the Pac-12 tournament. That's the only way. And with Sean Miller now being called out even further with what's gone on with the investigation at the U of A, when you get subpoenaed, is the focus really on the court? And they've got three games left as well. They're at the Oregon schools this week. In fact, Thursday night, U of A, Oregon is on FS1. Howie Schwab is with us now, the Schwab Fox Sports bracket expert. And Howie's latest bracket is out, and he's got Arizona State hanging on by a thread as a play-in team. And I happen to agree with him on that. I would have never thought that'd be the case after they beat Kansas, but here we are with the Pac-12 stinks. Howie, it's Brad. How are you?
Hey, Brad. Good to be with you, and you called it exactly right. I mean, the Pac-12 has had a disappointing year. UCLA has been down. Arizona's been down. And realistically, right now, Washington is the only team that's a lock to make the tournament. Arizona State has been winning lately, and it's really fascinating when you look at the Sun Devils. I think that's a really intriguing team to look at for the committee. When you have wins over Kansas, Washington, Mississippi State, and Utah State, you say, wow, pretty good.
Yeah.
But then when you have losses against Vanderbilt when Darius Garland didn't play, even though Vanderbilt earlier in the season was decent, when you have a loss to Princeton that's around 100 or so in the net rankings, but more importantly, losing at home by 21 points to Washington State, to me, is a real red flag for Arizona State. Now, Bobby Hurley's team, they play hard, and certainly the wins stand out, but the losses stand out.
Mm-hmm.
Which way will the committee go? The net rankings don't have them that high. It's really fascinating, but so many teams have struggled down the stretch going into the last few games of the regular season. Like NC State has one quad one win. You have Ohio State, you have Oklahoma, you have TCU, you have Florida, you have Alabama. I mean, Temple, Clemson. I mean, there's so many teams that are, in all honesty, kind of mediocre.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to fill 68 teams. Now, will the committee end up going in the Southern Conference, taking two teams? Wofford, I think, will get in, win or lose the conference tournament. But it's interesting. Mid-majors this year have an interesting argument because do you take teams that have 11, 12, 13 losses? And they have in the past, by the way. Or do you take some of these teams that have won 22, 23, 24 games in a mid-major? And this year is really interesting to me.
Howie Schwab is with us, Fox Sports bracket expert. You can watch him and check out all of his content on FS1, where U of A plays Oregon. That'll be on Thursday night. You know, I'll even take it a step further, Howie. At the start of the year, there was a lot of enthusiasm about what Dan Marley and Grand Canyon were doing. And even in their space, they have some horrific losses. And that's a conference that you're only going to get one. And it usually is New Mexico State. That's just the way that it's been over that conference. And they're right here in Phoenix. I think in the U of A's case, there is no case. And the only way is if they make the Pac-12 tournament. In Bobby's case, though, help me out on this, Howie. You've been around sports a long time, and you know that there's the bracket, the matchups, having the bracket filled with some TV play. Bobby Hurley's a national brand, okay? And Bobby Hurley, I think, just on his own merit, yeah, they've got some wins, his own name. There's a little bit of intrigue, like if we put Bobby Hurley on in Chicago or on the East Coast against the Duke in a round two game, we're going to get eyeballs. Am I wrong on this?
I'm going to stop you. I'm going to stop you right there.
Stop me. Stop me.
I totally disagree with you.
You don't think that happens?
I don't think the committee's going to say, "Oh, we got to make sure we put Bobby Hurley in against Mike Krzyzewski," or "We got to make sure we do." I don't buy that at all. I honestly believe the committee looks at the sheets of wins, losses, and really breaks it down with between the net rankings, between quad one wins. And unfortunately, I don't think that it's a matter of Bobby Hurley being the coach of Arizona State. That's why they're going to be in the tournament. Now, mind you, last year, when Arizona State made the tournament, I felt that they did not belong, because they lost three games at home to teams that didn't make the tournament from the Pac-12. It was Oregon, Utah, and I think it was Stanford, if I remember
right. Yeah, they weren't good last year, but it was they got in.
Arizona State down the stretch was horrendous.
Yeah, yeah.
They got in because they beat Kansas and Xavier early in the season, and those two wins were important. Now, it's funny. I'll give you a team that, if you look at big wins, Indiana beat Louisville, beat Marquette, beat Butler, beat Michigan State. Right now, there's no way that Indiana gets in the tournament because they've won two games since Christmas. But now, if you want to argue, hey, they beat three or four good teams, unfortunately, that doesn't work in my mind.
Yeah, and it's just my view that I think you and I are on the same page on all of this. I just think that if they win out, if they beat Oregon, Oregon State, and they win at U of A, they're in. And even if they get knocked out early.
I think they're closer to being in if they win those three games. And it will not be easy winning all three of those games.
Yeah, they're all road games. Right.
The thing that's interesting to me with Arizona State now as well, last year in the Pac-12 tournament, USC, I thought, was a team that could be in. They made it to the final game.
Mm-hmm.
They were almost they were down 2 points with about 10 minutes left against Arizona. And then Arizona ran away with the game. USC, despite a good record and being right up there in the Pac-12, the non-league hurt them. Middle Tennessee State, and they had another win as well, but very little on the non-league resume. So now at least Arizona State has the Kansas win, and has the Mississippi State win, and has the Washington win in league, and Utah State. So in my mind, that can help them. But again, the three losses, and they have other losses as well.
Well, they have poor stretches too, Howie. They trailed at home to Cal on Sunday, this past Sunday.
Yeah,
like you can't have that. You just can't.
Yeah, Cal's awful.
Cal's awful. All right, so your number one seeds before I get you out of here. And again, it's Arizona and Oregon State Thursday night on FS1. Howie Schwab is with us. And your number ones this week, with Tennessee losing, it's Duke, Kentucky, Virginia, and Gonzaga. There's no debate really at this point, is there? I mean, people can't be outraged by that.
Well, I'm sure people in Tennessee are probably like, wait a second, look at our season. The only problem is Tennessee just lost to LSU.
Right.
So did Kentucky. But Kentucky-Tennessee head-to-head, Kentucky beat them.
Yep.
And convincingly.
Yeah.
Now, if Tennessee beats Kentucky in Knoxville, then maybe it can flip back. But I think it's going to come down to the SEC tournament, and I think Kentucky's got to be the favorite right now. They're playing great basketball. P.J. Washington has really stepped up. And right now, I think Kentucky, which is amazing when you consider what Duke did to them at the start of the season. Kentucky, what a great job by John Calipari.
Yeah, peaking at the right time.
Young players coupled with guys like P.J. Washington, Nick Richards up front. Kentucky's a dangerous team. The other thing I love about this tournament, there are really about 8 teams that can win the whole thing.
Yeah, no, there's no question. There's no question. And before I get you out of here, the last thought is on the Pac-12, let's say Washington loses early. They're still in, but in the tournament, yes. They're still in. But if anybody else, everybody else has got to get to at least opposite them in the championship game to get in. Or is it, well, Arizona State's done enough if they win out the next 3 games? Because that's the vibe I'm getting over there in Tempe is if we take care of business the regular season, we get to the championships or the semis, we're going to be fine. You're not so sure, it sounds like.
I think a lot of it's also going to depend on what happens in other conference tournaments, because there are so many teams that are on that bubble that if a couple of them get hot, and let's say Arizona State loses in the, let's say they lose in the quarterfinals, of course, winning the 3 games down the stretch, beating Arizona, rivalry game, and beating the 2 Oregon schools would be nice, but, you know, the committee will look at the conference tournament, too, and say, wait a second here. So I think Arizona State probably has to get to the final to seal the deal.
Hmm.
And, of course, the losses, I mean, it's tight. It's really tight right now. And keep an eye on other conference tournaments because especially, let's say, the Southern Conference Wofford doesn't win.
Right.
I think Wofford's getting in either way. So now all of a sudden you take 2. And you take away one of the at-large bids that you thought was going to happen. Buffalo in the MAC. If Buffalo doesn't win, Buffalo's more than likely getting in based on what they've done this year. If the Big East, right now I have 3 teams in. I have Villanova, Marquette, St. John's. Butler and Seton Hall are close, but not quite. Let's say a team like that, like Butler or Seton Hall, wins. Then you're probably getting 4 from the Big East, and you lose another spot that you might have tried to get. So then all of a sudden, it gets a little perilous for Arizona State.
No, I mean, Arizona State.
And by the way, for the record, I have nothing against Arizona State.
No.
I like Bobby Hurley a lot. Some people at Arizona State on Twitter felt I was against them. No, I'm not. I'm not against anybody. I'm basing my opinions on schedules, on wins and losses, and unfortunately the Washington State loss is a major blemish, but we'll see what happens. That's half the fun.
Yeah, no question. And I think the Arizona State situation nationally is one of the big storylines to watch coming down the stretch because they have
it's really interesting. The committee has to decide which is more important, the good wins and bad losses.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Howie, thanks. It was good stuff. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks, Brett.
Howie Schwab with us, Fox Sports bracket expert. Arizona, Oregon State Thursday night on FS1. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmad.
Welcome, everyone, to the Inside Lane here on Sports360AZ.com, and we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on in the world of motorsports here in the state of Arizona. I'm your host, Devin Henry, and in case you didn't know, there's a big one coming up next weekend. It is my second favorite event of the year, only behind the same one that happens in November. It is the Ticket Guardian 500 NASCAR weekend for the NASCAR Monster Energy Cup Series coming up here next week, March 8th through the 10th at one of the most interactive racetracks in the world. And to get us all pumped up and ready for this, join us on the Inside Lane to get ready for the Ticket Guardian 500 weekend. She is the only woman at the helm of a NASCAR track, a member of the International Speedway Corporation for nearly 20 years, and now the president of ISM Raceway in Avondale, Arizona. It's Julie Giese. Julie, thank you so much for joining me. It is such a pleasure to have you on the show this week.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me. We're excited to get NASCAR back here next week.
Oh, yeah. It's always a lot of fun. It's early in the season. There's the new tapered spacers that's going on, and we're really having our first real week of seeing what that's going to be like at Las Vegas. And then, boom, we're right here back in Zoomtown, USA. Now, I want to know a little bit more about you. Before becoming the president, you were the International Speedway Corporation Managing Director of Business Operations for ISC Design and Development. That's quite the title. But you're originally from Wisconsin, not really known for their racing. But I want to know, what are your racing roots to eventually bring you to NASCAR and being the president of now the most interactive racetrack in the world?
Well, I'd say NASCAR doesn't have a Cup Series race in Wisconsin, but there are a lot of short tracks in Wisconsin. And so I grew up as a race fan. My family were race fans. I went to a few races at Road America and the Milwaukee Mile. So I grew up in it. I enjoy it. And I think we've got some, you think about Matt Kenseth, and back when I was growing up, it was Dave Marcus and Dick Trickle, Alan Kulwicki. So, I grew up loving racing. It was a dream job when I was hired at Watkins Glen International way back when, and was able to just work my way through and up in the company, moving on to Daytona and overseeing our marketing there, and ultimately the Daytona Rising redevelopment project, which really put me in position for the role you talk about with design and development. And my role there really was working on ISM Raceway and the $178 million renovation. So it set me up perfectly for the role that I have now here at ISM Raceway. And I know the property. I probably was the only one that maybe didn't get lost in November, because I knew that place like the back of my hand.
Yeah, and of course, you mentioned all the great racers from Wisconsin. Now also Derek Krause, who had his first Gander Outdoor Truck Series race last November here at ISM Raceway. Fun to have both of you guys making debuts. But you mentioned, go ahead.
I was going to say, and with Derek, his family lives about 10 miles from my family. So I've known Derek a long time, known his family. That was very cool to have his first Truck Series race at the track I was now leading. So that was a special moment for all of us cheeseheads.
Now, I don't think he'll be here for the Xfinity Series race, but hopefully we'll have him back in November for either the trucks and or we'll talk about the K&M Pro Series coming back to Phoenix as well. But I also want to know, you talked about the dream job when you got hired at Watkins Glen. I want to know a little bit about whether you've been told or why you think $178 million gets poured into this racetrack. It's now the most interactive in the world. Why Julie Giese to take over for the very first race?
That's a great question. I think I work hard, and I'd probably challenge anybody to putting in the long hours and things like that. And for me, like I said, it was a really easy setup because I knew the property. I knew what we were doing with the modernization project. And I'd spent the last 2 years working with the team here at ISM Raceway too, so had a good rapport with them. Honestly, getting the job a couple of weeks before the November race was overwhelming, but I felt like it really was a fairly easy transition because I did know the property, I knew the people, and I've been in the industry for such a long time that I knew the competitors and the teams and was able to really lean on them and rely on them to help get me through. So I'm excited for our second race and to get things rolling again and get the fans that haven't seen the new property out there to see just what we've done.
You talked about being a part of the Daytona Rising project, and while you weren't track president while everything was going on at ISM Raceway, as you mentioned, you had quite a large hand in doing that. I know this might be something like picking a favorite child, but can you kind of rival us between that Daytona modernization and now here at ISM Raceway and your favorite experience from doing both of those projects?
You know, there's a lot of similarities. I mean, Daytona was much bigger from a scale perspective, and just the facility there is so much larger than what we have here at ISM Raceway. But the great part about ISM Raceway's project is we were able to learn a lot of things from Daytona Rising. What worked? What did the fans really like? What worked for the industry and the suites and things like that? And then we could apply that to what we did here at ISM Raceway. So I think, you know, we going second afforded us a lot of opportunities to kind of tweak and do some things that, you know, looking back at Daytona, we're like, okay, here's some opportunities or here's things that the fans really love. We need to make sure we continue to include that as we move forward. I think the differentiating point between the two projects is the infield experience here at ISM Raceway. we have completely renovated that infield. We took down everything except, I think it was one building in the infield, and started over. And we now have a completely immersive experience for race fans. It puts you in the heart of all things racing. You can walk into the NASCAR garages. You can watch the drivers meeting. There's driver appearances throughout. We've got a Miller Lite beer garden, Modern Margarita tequila bar, Porta Cool chill zone, really great branded areas. And then my favorite part about the entire project is Gatorade Victory Lane here at ISM Raceway. Fans can actually come back into the infield, or maybe they didn't go up to their seats and they just spent the race in the infield. And you can actually participate in Gatorade Victory Lane. The car is actually elevated and the team is elevated, so the fans are standing right next to the stage, and you get to be a part of it. And that was a really cool experience. We weren't sure, really, you know, you build all this stuff and you really hope it works. That one, I think we knocked it out of the park. It surpassed any of our expectations. So definitely that's my favorite part here at ISM Raceway. Daytona was a big project, and it was a long undertaking. We had to run races while we were half under construction, and just being able to get through it and open this beautiful property and state of the art. I think for me, it's hard to pick one thing because we did so much, and that facility, I mean, it's completely brand new, just like what we have here now in Phoenix.
Yeah, Kyle Busch and his wife Samantha, for that matter, I think were huge fans of Victory Lane on Sunday, not just because of the win, but the fans were right there. Kyle's spraying some monster champagne all over them. Samantha's doing autographs with some of the kids and handing out hats. So that was a really fun moment, and I want to look back again at that K&M 500 weekend. Race number one, was there a moment that stuck out for you that you saw in person and you went, we're really doing something unique here?
You know, I that happened to me so many times during the weekend, just because you work so hard on this project and you get so far into the weeds sometimes that you know, when you finally open it and you see the faces of the fans as they walk through the gates, as they walk into their seats, as they walk into the infield, and the amazement and the awe and the excitement that they have, that to me, that's the payoff. And I remember it very specifically at Daytona. We opened our gates for the first time and did a preview for our fans, and they walked up into the new venue, like, and their jaws hit the ground. It was spectacular, and we had the exact same experience here at ISM Raceway with our fans, just to see how excited they were and how much they were enjoying it. I think the other thing that we can pat ourselves on the back for and was moving that start finish line and creating these crazy restarts. And I'm really excited next weekend with the new rules package to see what happens during those restarts, because I think they're going to get even crazier.
Absolutely. That's going to be a lot of fun. Now, I also got to talk to a racer a couple weeks ago, Michael McDowell, Glendale, Arizona native, and he talked about how proud he was that ISM Raceway is his home track. Now, obviously, it means a lot for all these fans to come out here and to see their faces and watch their jaws drop, like you mentioned. But what does it mean to you, not just impressing the fans, but also the drivers in the cars, especially the three here from Arizona, being Alex Bowman, J.J. Yealey, and Michael McDowell?
Absolutely. First of all, it was so fun to watch Michael in the Daytona 500.
Oh, yes. That was a lot of fun.
He had a lot of fans that day from ISM Raceway team rooting him on, so that was a lot of fun to see how well he did. You know, for us, it is about the fan experience, but we want to make sure that the competitors in the industry, when they show up here, they enjoy it just as much, and that's really important to me. We've actually spent some time in Charlotte last month visiting with all the teams, making sure that we've got everything that they need, that everything went as well as we thought it did. So for me, you know, that positive feedback is just as important as the fans, because when the competitors show up here and they enjoy it, that just, I mean, they want to interact with the fans. They want to make the experience even better. And so for us, you know, we want to be everybody's favorite track on the circuit.
There you go. I like that. Now, I do want to step away from the racetrack real quick, or the racing at the very least. I love that you've mentioned that you want to create new content, new opportunities for the venue, attracting attention, even outside of racing. And I absolutely love Zoomtown Lights. I thought that was a phenomenal experience, a phenomenal idea. And as I mentioned earlier, the K&M Pro Series West, their championship race, is coming back to ISM Raceway, a race that I always looked forward to as a kid. And I'll never forget going, hey, look, there's a Blaney in that race, some kid named Ryan Blaney. And now here he is. He won last year, and he'll be coming back again in the Cup Series. But can you give us a little bit of what's in store for ISM Raceway in the future, even beyond the world of racing?
Absolutely. That's a huge initiative in my mind now that we have a property that has a ton of flexibility and a ton of event space that we didn't have before. So to me, the sky's the limit. Bring me an idea and we'll figure out if we can do it. You know, we talk about festivals or food trucks or car shows, but, you know, there's other things we can do. You talk about Zoomtown Lights. I think that's was a great example of something unique for people to do. It exposes them to the racetrack. And the whole idea is let's get people out to the track that maybe aren't, you know, an avid race fan, but they're curious. They come out to the track. They see this amazing property that we have here, and then they decide, hey, let's give it a shot for a race coming up, and that's really our goal. So, you know, last night we actually had a really cool event out here, a track rental event in our garages, like a party, and it turned out so good. We've got we have so many different buildings now that we can program. I'm excited about the potential of the things we can do with this facility now.
So before I let you go, I want to do a segment I like to call Quick Time. I do this with all the drivers, just some rapid fire questions. I'm looking for some rapid fire answers in return. You ready to set Quick Time, Julie?
Absolutely.
All righty. Who is the youngest race winner at ISM Raceway? Hint, he's also the youngest pole winner.
Oh, I don't know my ISM Raceway history yet.
Well, here's a little bit of some for you. It's your Can-Am 500 champion, Kyle Busch, back in 2005, won the fall race. He's the youngest. And also, the very next race in spring of 2006, 13 years ago now, he became the youngest pole sitter as well. How about this one? From your experience, what's been the toughest part, kind of a roadblock to overcome here back in race number one?
Just getting people out to see what we've done, making sure everybody knows what we've done.
Anything special for all the campers on move-in day on Monday as the fans start to camp out for the race?
They might see me out there with some donuts and welcoming with the welcoming committee.
Fantastic. And can I squeeze a prediction out of you for next weekend?
No. I am going to predict a crazy good race with amazing restarts and a lot of excitement. That's my hope. We had that in the fall. I mean, it was so much fun. The last probably 50 laps of the race, it was so hectic on the racetrack. The fans, every time I looked up, they were all standing. Nobody was sitting down for those last 50 laps because you just didn't know what was going to happen. It was so much fun, and I think we're going to see more of that next weekend.
I think I'd like to predict that, too. I think you're going to be right on that one. One of my favorite moments from the fall race was actually the Camping World Truck Series race. Pre-race, when I looked up at the grandstands for a Truck Series race, something that I went to for the past many years, that crowd was very, very large for the, double A of NASCAR. That was a phenomenal crowd out at ISM Raceway this fall. And, of course, I'm sure we're going to sell out again here for the Sunday race. Julie, thank you so much for joining along here on the Inside Lane. Absolute pleasure to have you on, and I cannot wait for my second favorite event, sporting event of the year, the Ticket Guardian 500, only behind the Can-Am 500 weekend. But, nonetheless, out to see all you guys out there. Julie, thanks again for your time.
No problem. Thanks so much. And if you haven't gotten your tickets yet, make sure you go to ismraceway.com and get those before next weekend.
And check out the infield passes as well.
Absolutely.
Thank you again, Julie. Be sure to go on out. Get ready for the Ticket Guardian 500. That's it here for the Inside Lane here. That's Julie Giese, the president of ISM Raceway. Check out all editions of the Inside Lane on sports360az.com.